This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now, when I was a young boy, at the age of five, my mother's child gonna be the greatest man alive. But now I'm a man, way past 21.
Hello and welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I want to thank Alex for inviting me on. I'm Dr. Andrew Kaufman, and I'll be your guest host for the next hour, and I have some exciting news and some exciting things to talk to you about today. I'm going to be focusing on the Federal Drug Administration, the FDA, and their emergency use authorization process, because there's been some recent news with respect to the PCR as well as the vaccines, and I'm going to help you understand the legal and historical context for this very important issue that's affecting your rights right now. So if we could bring up the first slide, please. So what we have here, and I'm not sure if it's up, there it goes, is an announcement that the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, is withdrawing its emergency use authorization request to the FDA for the PCR tests that were originally approved in February of 2020. Now, this is quite significant because after that date, these tests will no longer be allowed to be used. And the PCR test has been the most widely used so-called diagnostic test for COVID-19 across the world and especially in the United States. And as we know, all of the tyrannical policies that restrict your rights and require you to participate with unapproved medical interventions are based on the results of this test. So why is it going to be withdrawn? Well, the truth of the matter is that there are two different ways to get your product on the market for a medical device, and this test is a medical device. One way is the emergency use authorization, and there are specific time-limited criteria. But to have your device on the market permanently to be able to sell, you need to get formal FDA approval. And the manufacturers of this test realized that they would not be able to even apply for FDA approval because they do not meet the criteria. As I've stated many times, the PCR test scientifically is not really suited for diagnosing clinical disease. But aside from that, this particular test has never undergone what's known as validation studies. Now, validation studies are what actually prove that it measures what you think that it measures. So why don't we go to the next slide, please? And here what we're showing is one of the FDA EUA authorization letters. So each time a product receives this emergency use authorization designation, which is different from FDA approval, they issue a letter to the manufacturer giving them this approval. And so here is an example of one of the PCR diagnostics from Ipsen Diagnostics LLC that was issued on April 1st, 2020. And I want to show this to illustrate some important things that it says. So first of all, if you look at the highlighted text where under indication at the top, you'll see that it is a approved or authorized for qualitative detection of nucleic acid from SARS-CoV-2. Now, nucleic acid is another word for RNA or DNA, but what this is specifying is that it can only detect genetic material that is said to be from this virus, but cannot detect the actual virus, and also cannot detect the clinical state of being in a disease due to a virus. And the next slide, please. If we look further down in this authorization letter, you see the highlighted text again that is based on the totality of scientific evidence available at the time this was granted that, quote, it is reasonable to believe that your product may be effective in diagnosing COVID-19. So you can see that there's only the reasonability of a belief, not a fact or not knowledge, that the product may right? Which also means or may not be effective in diagnosing COVID-19. So you can see that this is not very strict criteria.
As we predicted, the globalists are now launching a new lockdown. The first one has already destroyed the third world, already caused over 20 million extra people to starve to death, and it's caused massive supply chain problems across the Western world. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time for you to get high-quality, storable food that's ready to ship while you still can at 2020 prices. We have the biggest, best company in the United States as our supplier. Their entire catalog is at InfoWarsStore.com. You get an additional 10% off at InfoWarsStore.com, but only for one more week. They've told us you can extend it one more week, Alex, but that's it. They won't do this sale again until November, and then the food prices go up in 2022. This is insurance you can eat. It's the highest quality, hundreds of high-quality foods, 3 month, 6 month year supplies, all ready for you at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll free 888-253-3139. Again, InfoWarsStore.com, 10% off on high quality durable food, ready to ship, but it ends in just 1 week. So take action now while you still can.
So easy to throw away problems. It's so easy to play your breakdown. It's so easy.
Hello and welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, filling in today. So, as I was stating before the break, we have this language in the authorization letter that puts a lot of doubt about if this product actually can successfully diagnose COVID-19, and we'll know that it's not required to prove that it can diagnose this condition in order to get this authorization letter. So let's go on to the next slide. Now here we have the specific requirements from the FDA. Now, to get approval of IVD, which is in vitro diagnostics, that's any diagnostic test done in the laboratory, there are two pathways. Now, the 510K is the abbreviated pathway, so it's the easiest way to get such a device approved. So I thought I would highlight that in this example. And you can see that the FDA requires, among other things, the analytical specificity and sensitivity of an in vitro diagnostic in order to be approved. So what is that? Let's go to the next slide, please. So I found an article here from the NIH that discusses what sensitivity and specificity are. And essentially what they are statistics that are based on the error value or the error rate of the test. And the sensitivity is how well it can detect something that may not be common. And the specificity is if there is a positive result, is it very specific or does it give false results? So these are essentially ways to measure accuracy or error. Now, you'll see in the second column here that this article is specifically talking about tests in ophthalmology, and it states, quote, "A lot of this high-tech explosion involves diagnostic tests. Regrettably, there is sometimes a tendency to use tests just because they are available or because they are high-tech." Now, this is a very key point here because we have PCR tests are very high tech in terms of molecular biology. And according to the FDA, there have been approximately 600 different diagnostics and therapeutics applied for emergency use authorization to the FDA. So this is quite a prolific field and a big money grab. If we could go to the next slide, please. So this article further goes to say that in order to calculate sensitivity and specificity, you need to have a gold standard. Now, it says the gold standard is the best single test that is considered the current preferred method of diagnosing a particular disease. So what we have to do is take our proposed diagnostic test that we're applying to the FDA for and compare it to a gold standard in order to obtain the sensitivity and specificity calculations. And please advance to the next slide. Also, you can see in the second column, sorry, this should be one before I went too far. It talks about validity. And validity is the name for the study where you would compare this to a gold standard. And what it says here, it defines the validity. It is the extent to which a test measures what it is supposed to measure. Okay, so that's really key. So we have an experimental test we're going to apply to the FDA, but we have to do a validation study to show that it measures what we say it's going to measure. And in order to do that, we have to compare it to a gold standard and then use that comparison to calculate the error rate, as well as sensitivity, specificity, and other variables. Okay, next slide. So what is the gold standard in virology? Now, we can't see this whole slide, but we have. I'm going to read two quotes because I have two separate articles here. Now, the first is from an article about bovine viral diarrhea virus, and it says, quote, virus isolation is a basic, reliable, and widely used method for diagnosis of BV/DV infection and remains the gold standard for the virus diagnostics. Okay, now we go to the second article, which is looking at cytomegalovirus. And I put a quote at the end right there. Culture is the gold standard. Now, culture and isolation are actually two names for the same experiment. And this is the experiment that I have criticized immensely as being not a valid way to identify a virus. However, according to mainstream virology, this is the gold standard of how they identify a virus. So if you are going to be able to calculate the sensitivity and specificity of such a diagnostic test like the PCR. And by the way, this applies to all of the diagnostic tests that have been put forth and have received emergency use authorization, that they would all have to be compared to a gold standard in order to determine all of these variables about their error. And that would require comparing them to virus isolation according to their own standards. Now, this study has never, not once, been done. So, in other words, they don't really have any basis whatsoever to get approval for the PCR test, so they have no choice but to withdraw their emergency use authorization application, because when it expires, they will not be able to get approval. So this is quite significant, and now I want to show you how this applies to the research on the Delta variant, because this has been the big news story, the big point of fear across the world, that this alleged Delta variant came from India and is spreading across the world, and specifically, it is the fault of the unvaccinated that this even exists. So, next slide, please. I want to point you to a video that I recently did, which has been put up on this website, on band.tv, and I did this with Sayer G, and I explain exactly how they sequence the genome in this video, and I explain what variants are. And essentially, my main point is that they never had a virus where they could take the genetic material and look at it in its totality and perform a sequence. Instead, what they did was they took 56.5 million small pieces of DNA from one patient, only one, and they put those into a computer, and the computer, even though it didn't know the source of each of the 56 million little pieces, like did they come from a bacteria, did they come from a different virus, did they come from a human, did they come from a yeast or a fungus or an amoeba, they had no idea, but the computer still was able to put them together into what they call an in silico genome. And this is a computer simulation of a genome, and it's purely theoretical. And what variants are is when they try to repeat this experiment by taking the sample from the lung fluid or from a nasopharyngeal swab, which is from the nose, and they essentially repeat this process and put it into the computer, and they compare it with the so-called index sequence that was the first one like this published. And what happens is that every time they do this experiment, they cannot get the exact same results. And the reason that they cannot obtain the same results is because it's not a valid study. In other words, it's theoretical. It doesn't represent the real genetic sequence of an organism, only a computer-generated sequence. So each time, the sequence doesn't match exactly. It's slightly off. And in order to account for this, they call each one a new variant. And then they arbitrarily, it seems, designate which variant is causing the problem. Now, they've named many, many of these. There have been tens of thousands of different variants that have been identified, and it seems that this is the way that they justify many of the policies. For example, they state that the variant is brought about by unvaccinated people, so they use it as a way to get more people to vaccinate. They can also require people who are already vaccinated to take additional measures because they say that they won't be protected from the Delta variant. So when we come back after the break, I'm going to take an in-depth look at one of the papers, the most recent study put out, that claims that this Delta variant is so dangerous and, in fact, that it breaks through people who are vaccinated. So I'm very excited to present that to you, and we'll be back right after this break.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNLive.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
To the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. Before the break, we have been talking about PCR testing and emergency use authorization, and we were just getting into the Delta variant. I had given a description about how these genome sequencing experiments are done and how the Delta variant is essentially a made-up computer simulation of a strain. And let me add that since I was talking about the gold standard among the virologists of doing a virus isolation or tissue culture experiment, there have been no attempts at doing this type of experiment for any of the variants that I have found. So I want to take you to the next slide, which is a study that this is the most recent study, and I have it in front of me here, entitled Transmission Event of SARS-CoV-2 Delta Variant Reveals Multiple Vaccine Breakthrough Infections. Now, this was done by doctors at the Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And what they said, and this is right here. Oh, you can't. Can you see it in this example? So I have a different version of this publication. But what it says here is that this study, quote, suggests Delta variant may possess immune evasion. Immune evasion means that it can make people sick who are already vaccinated. So you see that they have to very carefully hedge their language to say suggests and may, because they can't draw any clear conclusions from this poorly done scientific publication and study. So I want to give you the key points of how you can interpret this. And obviously, it is very fear-inducing to see that people now who put all their trust in a brand new so-called vaccine have to now be afraid of getting the Delta variant. And we know that the news media is blaming this on the unvaccinated, that the Delta variant even exists. So we have a situation here that is potentially going to pit the vaccinated against the unvaccinated. So what are the key points of the study? So the first and most important point is that they used PCR testing to determine who was ill and who had COVID in this study. Now, we know from the previous segments that the PCR test is not shown to actually diagnose COVID or SARS-CoV-2. And there has been no PCR specifically developed for the Delta variant that has been even given the emergency use authorization, let alone any approval. We know that the PCR test has not been validated, so any research based upon PCR analysis is thereby invalid. Now, they also use the genome sequencing, which is also theoretical, and they use the same procedure that I described earlier, so that is also invalid. Now, what they did was they followed people at a wedding. So I wonder if the investigators were guests at this wedding and got the idea to do this study. But two people from India came to the wedding and they tested negative on the invalid PCR before they left India. And then they got sick a few days after the wedding, and supposedly they passed this on to four other people. Now, this wedding was not a wedding where human rights are respected. In fact, all the guests for this wedding were required to be vaccinated. So the couple that came from India got their vaccine just 10 days before they came to the wedding. Now, of course, it didn't point out that any of the other guests when they got vaccinated, but we know that there were 92 guests and six of them fell ill. So they say that this is because the Delta variant, which they only identified using invalid testing protocols, was brought over by the couple from India and then spread to four other people at the wedding with whom they admitted having close contact with. Now, since all of the people at this wedding were vaccinated, why wouldn't we consider that the vaccines could actually be the cause of their illness? Now, if they reported the timing of when the people who fell ill received their vaccines compared to when the other guests who did not fall ill received their vaccines, we could see. So, for example, if all six people were vaccinated within 2 weeks of the wedding and they're the only ones who got sick and the other people were vaccinated months earlier, then we would know that the vaccines were the cause of these illnesses, but this was not even considered. And this really follows a trend in medicine that investigators who perform medical research, and this is especially true of doctors, but also of PhD research scientists, they never consider that their treatment may actually be the cause of a negative outcome. This is something that is a big blind spot in this research and clearly needs to be addressed. Now, another fatal flaw of this experiment is that there is no control group. So, in other words, there's no other wedding where no one was vaccinated to see if any of those people got sick. And, of course, that would also tell us if the illness was caused by the vaccine, because we would expect no one at the other wedding to be ill. So this is an example of the very poor quality of research that we have that is being used to manipulate and justify all the policies that we are facing here in this pandemic situation. So we really need to take a careful look at the systems that are put in place. And most of these systems are justified by the goal of protecting the public health, and they disregard anything about the individual situation or the individual's rights. So we have all kinds of fake news. And then we have, of course, the censorship that is coming. So recently, the Surgeon General of the United States gave a speech in which he talked about the major importance of misinformation. And really, this is because people are not running to get the vaccine. Pretty much everyone who wanted to get these vaccines, I think, has received them. Some people may do it out of convenience, but essentially there's not going to be any more huge numbers. So they want to combat misinformation, thinking that people speaking, giving their scientific opinion is actually a problem. And during that conference, he announced that none other than the Rockefeller Foundation, a group that we all know and love, has decided to fund millions of dollars to essentially help develop technology to further censor voices like you'll hear on this show across social media and other digital platforms. So we can see that our rights are being infringed upon in many different ways, and information wars or info wars is one of the big battlegrounds. So when we come back, we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk more about the vaccine situation in the context of emergency use authorization. Let me remind you that you're watching the Alex Jones Show, and I'm your guest host, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. We'll see you in a few.
But I'll tell you who's got 5-star ratings when it comes to customer service. I'll tell you who built his network and infrastructure and has thousands of employees here in the United States and sources materials all over North America and from Africa as well, which he's proud of. That's where you get the good cotton and then they put it together here in the United States. And that is Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell is a patriot. Mike Lindell is fighting. He is bold and he's got his products in stock
ready to ship to you. When you use promo code Alex, you get the best specials they've got, up to 66% off with promo code Alex. Whether it's their entire line of sheets or human beds that are revolutionary and very, very popular, or animal beds for dogs and cats, or the great towels or the pillows that they're best known for. And he's done great. His people are great. They've really come through and taken us out of the red into the black. So thank you all for shopping at MyPillow.com, up to 66% off with promo code Alex.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hello. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. And today we've been talking about the PCR test, emergency use authorization, the Delta variant, and now we're going to shift into vaccine mandates. We could please have the next slide. And right here we have been hearing, and this is one of the things that frankly bothers me the most about what's going on in the world right now. But we have employers, we have governments, we have universities and schools, we have school systems, we have hospitals and healthcare organizations, all calling for mandates for their employees, students, and associates, and sometimes customers, to get this experimental vaccine. So let's go back and talk a little bit more about the emergency use authorization. Next slide, please. Because every product that is being marketed and sold in the context of this pandemic has only been granted emergency use authorization. There are no products that have actually been approved as safe and effective by the FDA. So what is emergency use authorization? So under an EUA, FDA may allow the use of unapproved medical products or unapproved uses of approved medical products in an emergency. So it's unapproved products in an emergency to diagnose, treat, or prevent serious or life-threatening diseases or conditions when certain statutory criteria have been met, including that there are no adequate, approved, and available alternatives. Okay, so let's look at this really closely because this is the context from which all of these products, including the vaccines, now we're really talking here about the vaccines, and I want to explain that these are not traditional vaccines. In fact, the dictionaries of the world had to modify their definitions of vaccines to include this current technology. Now, what these are is these are genetic based therapies or gene therapies, and there are different kinds. I know that many of you have heard a lot of information about this, but there are the mRNA so-called vaccines, which an example would be Moderna. And then there are DNA also vaccines, of which an example would be the Johnson & Johnson. And there are some nuances that differentiate these technologies from each other, but essentially these are all a brand new vaccine technology, never been used before. And in fact, there are almost no gene therapies at all that have been granted approval for use. So we are basically combining two technologies here, vaccines and gene therapy. So there is no precedent for this. But nonetheless, let's look at the next slide because let's see, is there actually an emergency? Now, the federal government and the Department of Health and Human Services still maintain their emergency status, and they've been renewing it every 90 days. However, among the states, you can see from the map in the middle that solid blue or dark gray means that those states are open and no longer have a state of emergency declared. And you can see that it is practically every state except Hawaii. So we have all of the states have lifted their states of emergency. And that signifies that there is no longer the required context for EUA authorization according to the states. Now, the Health and Human Services Department needs to get in line with all of the states because that is their job. Okay? So if we go to the next slide, let's look at the other criteria. Is there an alternative treatment that is safe and effective? And I want to point here to this is a review article. Now, I don't know how it's possible to have a review article in such a short time because we've only experienced this pandemic for a year and a half. And a review article means it's reviewing all of the studies that have already been done. And in this case, they have not just a review, but it's a meta-analysis. And that is a very powerful mathematical technique when they take multiple studies, but not just the studies, they actually take all of the data or the results from those studies and put them in one set of results, like combining them, and then they analyze that. And meta means that it's beyond the results of any individual study. This is like a summary of all the research on the topic. And we have one here for ivermectin in the prophylaxis and treatment of COVID-19 in such a short time. And it said that there were 18 randomized controlled treatment trials. Now, if we compare that with any of the vaccines that have been given authorization, they've only had one trial, randomized controlled trial. And it didn't even look at the important outcomes. But here we have 18 different RCTs that were combined into a meta-analysis. And if we read the conclusions, this is what it said. Meta-analysis based on 18 randomized controlled trials, treatment trials of ivermectin in COVID-19 have found large, statistically significant reductions in mortality, time to clinical recovery, and time to viral clearance. Now, not one study of the vaccine used mortality as an endpoint, so we don't even know if lives are saved. But here, we know from ivermectin that there is a large reduction in mortality, so a large life-saving benefit, and time to viral clearance. Furthermore, results from numerous controlled prophylaxis trials, now that is prevention, so that is actually the same thing that the vaccine is designed to do, report significantly reduced risks of contracting COVID-19 with the regular use of ivermectin. So we see here that not only is ivermectin proved to be effective at preventing COVID-19 infections, but also not only can treat it and make you recover faster, but actually saves lives. And this has been proven by a meta-analysis, which is a very, very powerful analysis. So we see that the two criteria required for emergency use authorization, that neither of them have been fulfilled when we look, take a closer look at what the research shows. Now, I'm going to shift to a very shocking but important document. Next, and this is on the next slide. Now, this is an opinion paper that came out on this issue of mandating the experimental vaccines for employers. So we have Donna Johnson, who is the acting assistant attorney general, prepared this opinion as of July 6th, and it's called Whether Section 554 of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act prohibits entities from requiring the use of a vaccine subject to an emergency use authorization. So what that really means is, can employers or schools require, in order to receive certain services or to be employed, can they require their employees or students to receive this experimental vaccine that has not been approved by the FDA? And what they concluded, or what Ms. Johnson concluded, was that actually employers can do this. But it's really fascinating, the reasoning, and we're going to certainly go into detail. But one of the things that it needs to be clear is that you have to look just at the context of this opinion. So first of all, this is an opinion. It has not been adjudicated in a courtroom setting. Okay, this is prepared by the deputy counsel to the president in order to advise the president on policy decisions. Okay, so this is not binding in court. So in other words, if you were an employee required by your employer to get the vaccine, you could still sue them. This opinion does not have any effect over any individual. So we need to take it very carefully with a grain of salt. And I'm also going to look a little bit into the background of Donna Johnson, who prepared the report, to see what her motivations might be. So we're going to explore this further and then talk a bit about human subject research when we come back. And this is the Alex Jones Show, and I'm your guest host, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. We'll see you in a few.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale!
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale. 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 Oh, no. Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
To the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. And before the break, we were talking about the judicial opinion of the Deputy Counsel to the President, Donna Johnson, about whether it is legal, according to the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, to have employers or universities and schools require or mandate vaccination as a condition of employment. And so I want to explain the major point of this opinion paper, which is that in the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, Section 564, which describes the emergency use authorization requirements and procedures, that there is language that says that people who would receive the experimental authorized product should be informed of certain things, and that they should have the, quote, the option to accept or refuse administration of the product. Now, what the main argument is in this position paper is that it's only the responsibility of the drug companies themselves to actually let the person accept or refuse. But a third party, such as an employer or a university, they can require the person to accept because they are not specifically named in the FDA's documents. Now, this is quite interesting that they would parse it this way. Now, they also stated that this argument only applies to the specific section of the law governing emergency use authorization. And in other words, it doesn't take into account any other federal, state, or local laws or international treaties. And we have, you know, a hierarchy of law in the United States, which is that treaties and the are the highest because our country is participating in that and it supersedes United States law. And then, of course, the Constitution is the second most important. And then the United States Code after that, of which this language that I've read is part of. Now, I want to draw your attention to the next slide, because this issue has been tried in court before. So we have a case here. Now, this is called Doe v. Rumsfeld, and it's from 2003. And what we have here is essentially that we had a service member who was required to receive an experimental anthrax vaccine, and they sued the federal government asking for an emergency injunction. In other words, that they would not require them to take the vaccine, which was not FDA approved as safe and effective. And the court ruled in their favor and granted the injunction, saying that they could not be required unless there was a presidential waiver. Now, I want to explain this a little bit, because we're talking about here not a regular United States citizen or a regular individual or man or woman like you or I, but we're talking about a service member. And when you enlist into the armed forces, you essentially sign away your rights and you become a subject of the armed services, and no longer are you a free citizen of the United States. So what they're saying here is, even though you're not even a free citizen, you're a subject of the armed services, that they can't even force you to take an experimental vaccine unless there is a specific presidential waiver. And subsequently, there was actually some additional legislation passed that the presidential waiver can only be granted when there is a direct threat to national security that would not be protected unless the waiver was granted. So just to summarize here, we have even service members, according to the courts, cannot be mandated to have this injection. Now, let's go to the next slide and take a little bit of a closer look at Dawn Johnson, who is the author of this opinion. And we can see from CBS News, if we look at the heading here, because she has served under prior Democratic administrations, quote, Obama renominates pro-abortion Dawn Johnson to Justice Department post. Now, Dawn Johnson, who is a professor at Indiana University, and graduated from Yale Law School, she has a long track record of being a big advocate of civil rights. In fact, she even worked for the ACLU in the past. She teaches constitutional law at the law school and has been a major, major advocate for pro-choice and abortion rights. Now, it's quite interesting to look at the juxtaposition and the hypocrisy in these two policies, because she spent her career protecting the right to choose for our body, the privacy, the integrity of our bodies that we can choose for ourselves, because that is the basis of the Roe v. Wade decision that protects abortion rights. Now, she has issued an opinion saying the exact opposite. Now she says it's perfectly okay to force a experimental medical treatment on people for employers, as long as it's not the manufacturer of the product themselves. Now, imagine if employers were concerned about overpopulation and they decided that all their employees who became pregnant would have to get an abortion or be terminated from employment, because that's precisely the situation that she has said is legal and okay to carry out. So this is, you know, quite a shocking and surprising change of direction. But let's go further to the next slide, because really what we're talking about here is we're talking about forcing the experimental or the use of an experimental treatment on the population here. And whether it's by a government, whether it's by the manufacturer, or whether it's by an employer, it is still the same procedure. So here we have aspects of the Nuremberg Code, because the Nazis did extreme amounts of experiments on their population, and they did this without consent, of course. And because of these atrocities, there was a trial, and the results of the trial were made into the Nuremberg Code. And one of the main provisions of the Nuremberg Code is to prohibit experimentation on people without their voluntary consent. And it says that it is absolutely essential to have their consent. And in fact, as a researcher myself in academic medicine and in medical school, I learned about this when I had to do a special training with what's called the IRB or Institutional Review Board. And this is a network of boards that regulate and approve human subject research. And they're set up at every academic institution, every hospital, every place that does human research in the entire United States and beyond. And I had to undergo this training where I learned that the Nuremberg Code was actually the reason why we were very, very careful about doing research on human subjects. Now, if you will go to the next slide, because in the United States, we have written this, and by the way, there's also the Declaration of Helsinki, which is another document that sort of follows up on the Nuremberg Code. But in the United States, we have the Belmont Report, which was prepared in 1979, and this is what set up the institutional review boards. And there's a quote on the right, because some people may say that this experimental vaccines are not actually research, that they are a real treatment. And this paragraph speaks specifically to that fact. So the fact that a procedure is, quote, experimental in the sense of new, untested, or different does not automatically place it in the category of research. That's what I was talking about. Radically new procedures of this description should, however, be made the object of formal research at an early stage in order to determine whether they are safe and effective. So, radically new procedures like a gene therapy vaccine. So, in other words, this quote directly applies to the current experimental vaccines, that even though they are not regulated as research among the general population, they actually meet the criteria because the radically different technology that has been previously untested, never used before. So people, I want to, you know, just reiterate that we are in a time here when the major treaties, the major human rights declarations, and even our own laws and codes and statutes are being directly violated, and it's being done out in the open, and government officials are actually saying that it's okay that they violate the law, and they use trickery, like in this opinion document, where they only look at it in the context of that one law. They don't look at it under any other statutes, like the Disabilities Act. So thank you for listening to this complete and long discussion today. I'm Dr. Andrew Kaufman.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.